Anita, New York City, fall, 1985. If it weren't for what happened later, everyone would have forgotten that night entirely. It wasn't like the 70s, you know? Nights when you never knew what could happen, what to expect. No, by 1985, the parties in New York were all the same. One night, one party bleeding into the next. Nothing specific or momentous enough to press itself into your memory. The guests, the conversations, the tastes of the fucking wine on your lips, all more or less the same. Especially Tilly's parties. Formulaic, interchangeable. Some felt that's what made them work, but for me, it depressed me. That impossible distinction of the passage of time. The drinks were always set in her claustrophobic galley kitchen to force intimacy. The food, what little there was, wasps hate feeding people, set atop the piano in the center of her massive loft. The poor young artists hovering while it lasted. The music just loud enough to soften silences, but too muted to inspire true revelry. Over the years, Philip Glass was replaced with Sun Ra. The hot new artists aging into establishment figures or disappearing altogether, replaced by other, younger faces. All the big museum people were always invited, naturally. Tilly enjoyed the thirst shared between those two groups in particular. The haves dangling their opportunities tantalizingly before the have-nots. It created a great friction in the room, she'd remarked once. After years where I was the only brown speck in attendance, lately there'd been a noted effort to populate the guest list with more third-world artists. This sudden concern for diversity coinciding with the Met hiring their first black senior curator. I'm not being cynical, just honest. It would be embarrassing to invite Rory to a party and have her see only white people there. But outside of that, in all the years of these fêtes, very little had changed.